Hello, welcome to the Kiwi Symposium podcast, the podcast produced by Fiocruz Brasilia Communication Advisory during the first symposium using qualitative evidence to inform decisions in the Sustainable Development Goals era, new frontiers and innovations. I am Mariela de Oliveira Costa, and in this episode, I interviewed Aruna Bhattacharya Chakravarti from India. Welcome, Aruna.
Thank you.
You were one of the facilitators of the workshop named Software Does Not Analyze Qualitative Data. Researchers do qualitative research in multi-site settings without using any software. Tell us, why is this topic important for research and decision making?
Thank you for having me and asking this question, but I will be a little long answering this.
Yeah.
I have been doing qualitative research training and teaching for many years, almost starting from 2009, and I'm working in research for almost 20 years. But recently, like 2017, I was relocated to a different region in India, and I worked with a team of new researchers who haven't worked before, and this region language I am not used to, and so this is why this topic is important, because oftentimes we have a lot of dependence on English. We think that you know, everything, if it is translated nicely in English and analyzed using a software, then it is of any standard or if it's quality. So when I was positioned within this region, and I worked with, I got a chance to work with these researchers who are not, who speak really nice, you know, who speak the local language really well, and interact well with English, but don't, it is not their main language. So I, as a researcher, coming with no understanding of that local language, you know, it was quite a, it's quite a challenge. And then I also understood that they are newer researchers, young researchers. They're not really good with computers, softwares. So I took a pause, because it was a new, I worked as a consultant. It was a new opportunity coming to me. And how can I say I can't work? Because I'm used to working with computers. I'm used to working with a common language of English and softwares. So I thought about it. As an anthropologist, I told you before, like, I'm my study, my training is anthropology. So in anthropology, we, not necessarily just anthropology, a lot of other, you know, I think that we try to include everybody. Mm-hmm. We cannot think that, oh, you know this and hence you're better. So I thought about it and I thought, okay, you know, I have to think of a method or a way to incorporate these researchers and also a research output which is publishable, like in English. So that is how this whole thing started. And I didn't know that, you know, I'll end up developing a method. So when that happened, and I got an advertisement saying QS, you can submit a proposal idea, a workshop idea. I wrote this because I felt there would be situation like what I felt in other countries, where people may not have money to buy software. Yeah. People may not have technology.
Expensive. Software is expensive.
Technology.
Yeah.
And we cannot pressurize people to learn computer and learn English, learn technology. Because research analysis is about how you think. Mm-hmm. You can think without technology.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying I'm anti-technology. But I'm trying to include people who are good researchers,
mm-hmm,
into research modalities.
But how people can use other methods without a computer, without software, to research qualitative methods?
Okay, end of the day, you need a computer because, you know, you have to type and write and publish.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole process can be different. People who are not able to use computer can be, but they can be part of your research thinking. They can be part of your analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So this workshop was demonstrating that why, especially the steps. You know some, I know some. And if we can marry that, we, mm-hmm, can engage those, we can also reduce those challenges. But that is a strength, because you think in one language, and if you translate, if you try to translate that in English, that is lost. Because I'm sure it is true for even Portuguese. Like, you cannot exactly translate that in English.
Yeah.
So in qualitative research, especially when you're talking about creating evidence, it is very important to get the real meaning.
Mm-hmm.
What is that data saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, translation takes away that.
Mm-hmm.
And dependence on software also probably doesn't, you know, that way we do not get to include a lot of people who do not know software.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel more and more people should be involved in creating evidence, not because they know software or not because they know technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it is.
This is one of the steps that you developed. And what is the others?
No, I'm not developing a step. I developed a kind of a method.
Yeah.
So there are many steps. Like, mm-hmm. You can still work on the different languages,
mm-hmm.
and you can also transfer it. Because even if you are not using a software,
mm-hmm.
but you can have a template which can be scanned and emailed. Because qualitative research evidence gets strengthened if there are more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
It is not one person's point of view. It is, you know, how your meaning, you're able to add everybody's meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So the transferability is also there. I mean, I have demonstrated that in the workshop,
mm-hmm.
right now. And
but
I think it's useful.
Yeah, and can you tell us the steps? How, which was these steps?
So, for example,
it's 5 steps, 10 steps.
Oh, okay. So I didn't really count, but I can tell, like, the typical qualitative research analysis is like you collect data. You like, for example, the data are coming from multi-site.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of our topic. Like, it's a multi-site study. Researchers in many places, and we want to engage everybody in the analysis, not just the top people, but everybody. So you can translate. You can also keep it in the native local language,
mm-hmm.
and analyze. So first step would be to create a transcription in the local language. Then create open coding. Open coding meaning, again, there's no pressure that you have to do a certain way. You can read that document and write what you think this document is telling. So I created open coding because it is also creating inclusiveness of,
mm-hmm.
different people of different background. Then collate those open coding and create thematic areas. That can even be done on a workshop, like you can come face to face, because that also enables, that also creates more, you know, then it's not one person's point of view, because when everybody's coming together, we are able to read, and it is more reliable and credible way to arrive at a decision.
It's a collective analysis.
Yeah, and also, we all are coming from different background.
Mm-hmm.
So what I read, you might not read, or what you read, I might not read. So we are able to also being inclusive in that,
mm-hmm.
area, because this work is a very public health work. When you're talking about sustainable development goal, it is for the community, it is for the policy, it is,
mm-hmm.
for health. So there are so many layers. There's no one way that we use one lens to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can also, those can be done in a workshop and can be done in English, because then we are coming in a consensus, like, fine,
mm-hmm.
we are reading this, and later on we can produce a document out of it. It could be a publication, it could be a report, it could be a poster or a policy, you know, policy document.
Yeah.
So main, I think, 4 or 5 steps.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation in the Kiwi Symposium podcast. Full coverage is available online at kiesymposium.org. See you in the next episode.